is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Afghanistan, Pakistan. I welcome Bill Rajo, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, a senior fellow. He keeps the Long War Journal. And Ambassador Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute, to comment on turmoil in the region. And this includes of Asia Minor as well as Central Asia. This headline from Ankara: Turkish President Erdogan claimed in these last hours that the country's intelligence forces had killed the leader of ISIS in Syria, as he vowed to continue the country's fight against terrorism. This in a broadcast. The president said this person was neutralized in the operation carried out by MIT, that's Turkish National Intelligence, yesterday in Syria. From now on, we will continue our fight without discrimination against terrorist organizations. Bill, I come to you on this because recently we have a report from the leaked documents from the airmen in Massachusetts that it is the U.S. opinion that ISIS is especially threatening, revived itself in Afghanistan under the Taliban. Al-Qaeda is also part of the story. And now Mr. Erdogan, with less than 2 weeks till his election is to be held, he's tied right now, according to the pollings, with his main opponent. Mr. Erdogan is claiming an ISIS kill. Do these dots connect, Bill? ISIS in Afghanistan, ISIS in Syria, ISIS talked about in Ankara, ISIS referenced in a document from Washington. Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yes, and ISIS is certainly the shiny object in the room. Everyone loves to talk about the targeting ISIS. I mean, I'm not trying to discount it. It is a global threat. It's a regional threat. Should be a threat to Turkey. But we've also seen Turkey look the other way at times with respect to the Islamic State. I think now, keep in mind that Turkey also claimed they captured al-Qureshi, who's the current emir of the, or caliph of the Islamic State. They claim they captured him last year. So I think what I'm detecting here, I'm getting sort of a Pakistan vibe circa late 2000s, early 2010s, when a visiting dignitary or an important moment would come. The Pakistani government or military would claim they killed or captured a senior al-Qaeda or Taliban leader. And then we would find out that that individual was still alive. Whether that's what's happening here in Turkey, as you mentioned, John, Erdogan certainly has an election coming up, and this will make him look strong. If Turkish intelligence and military conducted a raid and they killed Qureshi, we should have some evidence. We should have DNA evidence. We should have pictures. That's what will actually convince me that they did this. But until then, you know, I treat claims like this, particularly given the fact that they claim they had him in detention less than a year ago. I put my, you know, skeptical hat. You know, again, John, we've talked about this for years. These terrorist leaders are like vampires until you expose them to sunlight, drive a stake through the heart, and chop off the head. They're never really dead.
Mr. Ambassador, there's a headline from The Diplomat that is at odds with some of the information we have about the Taliban. Pakistan and the Afghan Taliban, friends becoming foes. At first, a Taliban victory in Afghanistan, goes the subhead, was considered synonymous with Pakistan's victory. But disappointed hopes on both sides now have the neighbors at loggerheads. I add to this what Bill was just commenting on, the ISIS being the shiny object in the region. Does Pakistan have one policy about the Taliban and its shepherding of ISIS and al-Qaeda, according to the Pentagon? Or is
first of all,
separate opinions and separate ministries?
First of all, let me correct the perception that the headline you cited creates. I think Pakistan is far from being a force for the Taliban. Pakistan has invested a great deal in the Taliban. There are factions of the Taliban who are still deeply rooted in Pakistan. They have family there. They own property there. If Pakistan saw the Taliban as a foe, then these people would have started feeling the heat, and that's not the case. What we are seeing essentially is what I had predicted before the Taliban took over Kabul in an article in Foreign Affairs titled Pakistan's Pyrrhic Victory. It was wrong on the part of Pakistan's military intelligence as well as some other elements to think that the Taliban will be completely beholden to Pakistan and will do as Pakistan tells them to do. The Taliban are an ideological group. I've repeated that point on your show many times. They have certain beliefs. They took help from Pakistan against the Americans, just as they took help from Pakistan earlier in the 1990s. And they are willing to do certain things for Pakistan, but they will not compromise their belief system. Now, they are also an Afghan force, and therefore they have to look upon what Afghans think of them. And Afghans certainly would not want them to completely kowtow to Pakistan. So there are tensions, but the two sides are far from falling apart to the point of becoming foes or enemies.
Does Islamabad or Rawalpindi, do they make a distinction between Al-Qaeda and ISIS? The distinction is made much in Europe.
Pakistan has always made a distinction between various jihadi groups. They say we have a more nuanced approach, which reflects our regional considerations. Most people have found that the differences are essentially one of shade of opinion as well as of policy. To think that Al-Qaeda or the Taliban can become somebody's ally against ISIS is unrealistic. And so Pakistan does make distinctions. Pakistan right now, because the international community wants to crack down on ISIS, and we've just seen President Erdogan trying to claim credit for acting against ISIS. Yet he also doesn't act against all jihadi and extremist groups. Pakistan is in the same camp in that sense.
Bill, I come to you because Azami Khalilzad, who was the major negotiator for the Taliban arrangement with the Trump administration in 2020, that became the withdrawal from Kabul and Afghanistan in 2021. And the catastrophe of that August day. As Zahmid Khalilzad, I'm following your Long War Journal, has responded to the Washington Post oddly in a tweet. What tweet, Bill? A tweet thread? What, how does this help him?
Yes, John. So, yeah, the Washington Post article from last week, you know, detailed some of the intelligence the Islamic State is becoming a threat from Afghanistan. Khalilzad's response is, we should continue working with the Doha deal. The Taliban are an effective counterterrorism partner. They're enemies with the Taliban. Now, I will say that it was the enemy with the Islamic State. I will concede that point to him. But and he's saying things like, but terrorism isn't being exported from Pakistan. The Taliban is reining this in. Al-Qaeda is, he used another D word, declined. You know, I always joke. It's not really a joke because it isn't funny. Everyone claims Al-Qaeda is dead, defeated, decimated, done. Now I can add declined to that list. That's a new one. But he's wrong on all these points, John. And I looked at, you know, when we looked at this, the one thing, the big tell here is he's completely, and he knows about this, completely ignoring the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, which is being sheltered in, supported by the Afghan Taliban. You're getting a reverse Pakistan situation going in here. They've reignited their insurgency inside of Pakistan. The movement of the Taliban in Pakistan is a major ally of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda helped the movement of the Taliban write its charter back in 2006, 2007 when it was formed. And Al-Qaeda was issuing orders to TTP leaders way back then. How do we know this? From the bin Laden documents. Khalilzad is, what he's doing is he's making a case to keep that defunct Doha agreement, which that was that agreement between the U.S. and the Taliban under the Trump administration. He's saying we should trust the Taliban. They're a partner. We should be wary of them. But the Doha agreement is still in effect. And it isn't. It was dead the moment it was signed. How do we know that? Because the Taliban took over Afghanistan, because Zawahiri was sheltering in Kabul when he was killed, and other Al-Qaeda leaders have returned. We documented all this in our response to Khalilzad at the Long War Journal. Calazade is trying to keep his, at the minimum here, he's trying to keep his legacy alive. He's upholding that Doha agreement. That is really ultimately his legacy, that agreement he signed, that he pushed with the Taliban. And he wants to ensure that the U.S. and policy continues to work with the Taliban. And he's basically getting his wish.
Bill Rajo, the senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal. And Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute, who will comment on Mr. Khalilzad's unusual response to the Washington Post when we return. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.